Welcome to Speed Learning English, your podcast for smarter and more professional English. My name is Sven. Hi, Richard. How are you?
Hello, Sven. I'm fine, and you?
I'm fine, and I'm really interested to hear some more information about Ghana. Last time when we spoke, you were talking about the country itself and some historical aspects and the landscape, and now I was wondering if I wanted to travel to Ghana as a tourist. What places should be on my sightseeing list, or what attractions can you recommend?
So it really depends. What kind of tourist you are. If you're a tourist who is looking forward to see the countryside, nature, then there are things to do for that aspect. And if you're more interested in history, there are aspects for that. And if you're more interested in just leisure time, there are aspects for that. I will try to put all three things in one and give you a bigger picture of my country and sell it better to you. So first, let's begin with the countryside and nature. So if you travel into the middle part of Ghana, one big city I would suggest for tourists is Kumasi. It just translates into under a certain tree, and that tree's name is Kuma, and so it's under Kumasi, so Kumasi, under Kuma, so Kumasi in the Ghanaian dialect and the Ghanaian language. And there you will have the beautiful, most beautiful sights of nature you can see in West Africa. You have the rainforest there. Imagine the leaves, thick green, and you just hear the breeze of not really wind. It's not sea wind, but it's something really, really comforting. It comforts your soul. I don't know how to describe it very well. It's sticky at the same time because you're in the rainforest. You feel at the beginning, you feel that you can't really breathe very well, but after, I don't know, let's say 15 to 20 minutes, your body miraculously adapts to that situation, and you are able to to feel well in that situation. Because normally, if you're a tourist from Europe, you're not used to these temperatures, to these weather types, to these weather phenomena. So just have to take time to get used to it. And in Kumasi, you have, I would say, there is a heritage center, heritage or historical center of modern day Ghana, because of the Ashanti land. Mm-hmm. Kumasi is the capital of the Ashanti land, and there you have a lot of history, pre-colonial history and also post-colonial history. There you will meet.
Kumasi is the capital of Ashantiland. I thought Accra was, as the capital of Ghana itself, also the capital of Ashantiland.
No. So Accra is, if you want me to give you a short history, Accra is a part of a land that was inhabited by settlers from Nigeria, present day Nigeria, and they came from Nigeria because of instability at that time. The historical numbers are not really right, because it was in movements. It wasn't at one moment that a lot of people moved from present day Nigeria westwards to modern day Ghana, but they were from Nigeria, and that is called Accra. That city is Accra, and that is very in the south, next to the ocean. Really, it's an ocean town or ocean city. And then the colonial people made this town the capital of the Gold Coast. But inwards, in the land, in the hinterland, in the rainforest, there's Kumasi. And Kumasi is the capital of the Ashantis, which is a term just means because of war, because they formed a union state in order to fight other people on the coast. And yes, Kumasi, therefore, is the capital of the Ashanti land. And the Ashantis are more or less the majority representatives of the Akan. And the Akan, That's just an ethnicity, like the Germans or the Dutch, and there are subgroups like there are Saxonies and there are Prussias, as in Germany. But yes, so Ashanti is the capital of the Akan or the Ashanti land, yes. And Accra is just the administrative capital of modern day Ghana.
Okay.
So
So,
then, yeah, here you can meet the Asante Hine, and you will learn a lot of culture, the culture of the Akan people, how we dress, how we eat, our calendar that has miraculously has 40 days, because we don't when they are when they were writing their calendars, they didn't count the number zero, and the new calendar was then introduced by the Europeans, which reduced the month to 30 days instead of our normal 40 days that we had before. So
okay.
that's fun, one fun aspect that that's always
And
amazing to learn.
does this change the date?
What do you mean? So yeah, so we have yeah no no. So for example, if you we have cultural festivals, one is the Akweside. That's funny enough, it's always on a Sunday, and it's for every 40 days. So every new month there's one Akwesi Day. So we didn't change our festivals and our cultural rites to the 30 days calendar. We stick these festivals and historic events or events to the 40 days calendar.
There's also another interesting thing that is probably, as far as I know, exclusively in Ghana, that you also are named after the day of the week that you were born. For example, Kofi Annan, the former UN secretary, was born on a Friday because his name was Kofi. Can you say something about that?
Yes, that's also something that tourists will encounter when they visit Ghana. So after they you always will hear Ghanaians say Akwaaba, Akwaaba, which means welcome. And we are very when it comes to hospitality, I believe we are among the best or one of the tops on this planet. And the second thing you will hear is they will ask you for your date of birth, and normally for Western ears that sounds really, especially if you're a woman, you wouldn't like to give out your age. But the idea behind is to understand the date you were born. So if it's Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday and so forth, then you will be given a name, an Akan name. So we, the Akans, we name our children after the days they are born. So, for example, if you're born on a Monday, you will be called Kwejo for men. And for example, if you are born on a Tuesday, you will be named Kwabena for men. And let's not forget the women. If you are born on a Tuesday and you are female, you will be called Abena. So they will ask you for the date of your birth, and then they will give you an Akan name, and then they will always call you with your Akan name just to make you more feel more home at the end of the day. Yes.
And do you have a special relation to other people who, on which day were you born?
So I was born on a Monday, so and I'm male, so I will be called Kwaju.
And
The
do you have a
equivalent
special
for female would be Ajwa. Yes, I mean, if you say, yeah, there's always these incidents where you say, well, I'm also a Kwaju, then the other person says, well, I'm also a Kwaju. So there's a bond in that sense. If you meet somebody, if you're maybe you're called Julia and you meet another Julia, in that sense that would be or if you're called Sven and you meet another Sven, in that sense that bond. And
I found that it's more with a surname in Germany, like my name is Frank. Oh, my name is Frank too, or Müller, and this has a deeper connection because you think you might be related over a couple of corners. I don't know,
that's
but
also true, yeah.
yeah. Okay, so the 40-day calendar and the names after the name of the week, but that's only like a second name. Nobody would name his child only after the day of the week, wouldn't he? Would he?
So normally, pre-colonial times, you would have the name of the week. Then you will be named after an ancestor that has passed on. For example, you will be given the name of your grandfather or your grandmother or your uncle, and then you would also have that's really it. And then you would have. That's really difficult to describe for European ears and European logic to understand, because you will then be given a clan identifying name, if that is something, if I could put it that way, because we don't restructure our society into clans. And nowadays the word clan has I don't know, a different meaning than it actually. The actual meaning, a clan is just a bigger family. So the family as such, because we are very family oriented, and it's not really a family, it's really a group of people. It's really then a group of people. So in the Akan we have 12 clans, and the Akan, I don't know, we are roughly 20 million people in present day Ghana. And so you understand, 12 divided by 20 million, there's that clan would be a lot. So it's not a wider family in that sense. But then that clan would, you would then identify it. And that clan, in actual sense, is what they then call, for example, they call in Germany, Stamm. That would be the Stamm then. But nowadays, a lot of people ignore that. And that's really something that people who are really interested in culture or have national sentiments use that and kind of try to propagate that in modern day.
Okay, so the name seems to be very important in Ghana. So the symbol or the meaning of the name, and also, as you mentioned before in another podcast episode, family is very important. And now it seems like you have your real family, which is the same blood. Then you've got like a clan family belonging to the same clan, and even a day of the week family, like every Friday. All the Fridays are like a big family. All the Mondays are like a big family. Would you agree?
That's true, yeah. The clan family, and then you have also then the downside of it is that you then also have the ethnicity family. So that in a pluralistic country as Ghana is today, you then have these names used as dividers. So you can identify somebody by their name. For example, if you called Adam, everybody would know that you are from Ewe. From the Ewe ethnicity, and if you are called Kwame, everybody will know that you are an Akan, for example. And back to the names. If you, for example, today is Monday, and I would, I'm an Akan, I'm a Kwejo, so Akan. In the olden days, I would have to do perform some rituals today. I had to perform some special bathing to cleanse my soul on the Monday because I was born on a Monday. Yes.
Okay.
So then that's something that tourists will learn. But then again, if you come to the south, especially in Accra, you will have a lot of nightlife, a lot of party. And Accra is more or less becoming the New York of West Africa. And that's not what I term that's a savvy marketing move of my government, to call Accra the West African New York and the city that never sleeps. But more and more, it really is becoming a New York of that sense, because we have a lot of people from other parts of West Africa, Nigeria, Niger, Mali, Cote d'Ivoire, Togo, Benin, and Cameroon, and even South Africans, and more Egyptians, Moroccans, really a lot of people. And then if you go outside, Indians and so on and so forth. And the party and nightlife is really developing rapidly. So if you're looking for fun, to have drinks and meet people and casually watching your football or soccer and just enjoying your life, just sitting there, and maybe if you don't want to really have that African experience, you have locations that you would ask yourself, they don't really leave the continent of Europe or America and come to Africa. It's really adaptable or really just designed for European or North American consumers. So in that sense, if you're looking for nightlife, Accra is the city to be honest with you, especially in these times of COVID, where the COVID numbers are very low in Ghana. So you can enjoy your life there really well, Anton. If you're looking for nightlife, it's really a grand. I'm so proud of my country in that sense that the tourism or the tourist sector is so rapidly developing and developing in the right way. Also, yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible. Whenever I listen to you talking about Ghana, I can really feel, first I felt the heat and the humidity and the wind and the climate, and then I felt this welcoming character of the people, and now I just felt this party atmosphere. So, Richard, thank you very much for sharing all these information and experiences with us. But I have to go to Ghana now. So, bye-bye.
Especially, yeah, you have to go to Ghana, and I believe once the outsides open again, and we are allowed to travel again, I believe that the airlines will drop their prices to attain more market share that or the market share that they lost. So if you are looking for the next destination, don't look to Greece, don't look to Spain, look to Ghana and smile. And I believe when you come back, you will smile even more.
This was a good finish for today. Thank you very much. And yes, again, it was a pleasure talking to you and getting all these information. Thank you very much, Richard.
Thank you, Sven. So, bye.